This Pentecost Sunday, I pray, Lord, that you would send your Spirit on us now. Soften our hearts and break down our walls so that we might receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Do take your seats. It's been a while. For the benefit of those listening on the internet, I have just replaced my very comfortable ballet shoes with 5-inch hot pink heels. And I'll tell you why later in the talk. Today is Pentecost. Oh, I really haven't worn these in a while. Contrary to what some of us might be led to believe, the Holy Spirit is not a phenomenon of the 20th century, nor is the Holy Spirit an import from America. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. As much as God the Father and God the Son, so is God the Spirit. We read at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And I love that image, hovering. God never imposes on us. God is gentle and loving and kind, and God meets us at our need. And for some, that will be a gentle hovering. For others, that will be more powerful, but God meets us at our need. And if you are here today and you have faith, if you have faith in God, you are engaged with the things of the Spirit already. Faith is a gift from God by the Spirit. And the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit is a creator. The Holy Spirit brings new passion. He brings new life. He brings new freedoms. He brings new hope. He brings new peace, and he brings new power. And those particular aspects of the work of the Spirit are what I want to focus on this morning. The Spirit who brings us peace, and the Spirit who brings us power. We are not all called to full-time church work, but we are all called to something. We all have a calling on our lives. We are all called to be Spirit-filled witnesses in our contexts, whatever that looks like. And yet today we find in the church the Holy Spirit is so often ignored. The imagery that is used, I think, perhaps is not very helpful. We have a dove on one hand. You see on my stall there as well, we have a dove. And we have fire. And the issue with that, I think, is for most of us today, that isn't terribly tangible. It's not something we can easily get hold of and embrace. A dove and a fire doesn't necessarily feel terribly relevant unless you have a log burner in your house, in which case I confess the sin of covetousness. Contrast this with the incarnate Christ, God who put on skin and came into our world. Human. Someone we can all relate to, someone who sounds like us, who looks like us, who experienced many of the things we experience. Or contrast this to God the Father. We have all had fathers, although we have different relationships with our fathers. This is a tangible concept. But for the Holy Spirit, we've got a dove and we've got fire. It's quite hard to wrestle with that. And yet, as all analogies fall short of the glory of God, there is something to be had within that, because the dove is associated with peace, the peace of God, gentle, unobtrusive, meeting us where we're at. And of course, the fire speaks of his power, cleansing, a new beginning. So firstly, the peace of God. When our hearts are open to God, so we find his peace. And many of us are resistant to the works of the Holy Spirit, and that can be for just really simple reasons. Life is busy. We cram our lives full of stuff, and our hearts become hardened, also through disappointments, through pain, through confusion, through fear. Cynicism sets in, and we kind of turn in on ourselves and harden up. Perhaps some of you here are thinking, you know, I used to be more open to God. There was a time when things were different. I love the image of a sponge. And if you think of a natural sponge rather than the kind of plastic sort, a natural sponge, if it is dried out, will sit on the surface of the water before anything starts to sink in. As it becomes hard, there is a resistance to the water, as there is with us, a resistance to the things of the Spirit. But as the sponge begins to soak up, so it softens, so it can take water on itself, so it can be lifted out of the water and can quench another's thirst. And if we haven't been in the presence of God for some time, it is unsurprising, perhaps, that we feel jaded, that we've hardened, that we're feeling cynical, that we're feeling tired, perhaps that we lack that peace that is so vital to our walk with Him. I want to read you an excerpt from a book I'm reading at the moment by Carl Martin. There's a slide for this. I recommend it to anyone. It's absolutely brilliant. And he talks about one of his encounters with the Holy Spirit. My call to leadership came in the bath after a football match. I had just scored the winning goal in the university championships, and I was having a reflective moment on my own. I wasn't really following Jesus at the time. I was thinking about last night's conversation with three of my closest friends. None of them knew Jesus. One was a nominal Christian, one was an atheistic Jew, and the third a lover of hip-hop and eccentric fashion. They joked with me. Do you know what we love about you, Carl? You call yourself a Christian, but we wouldn't know it by the way you live. They meant it as a compliment, but those words cut me to my heart. In the bath, I did a deal with God. Show me this stuff is real. I'm in or I'm out. No more guilt, no more shame, no more rules, no more limits. I am totally out. I'm not sure that the bath was the best place for this conversation, but God showed up. There were no bolts of lightning, but there was an arresting presence that could not be denied. I knew that God was in the room with me. All that I had half believed until that point, I knew to be true. Carl, in that moment, found peace. He found the peace that he needed to hold on to his convictions. And in that peace, he was able to walk out in his calling. Carl today is an internationally renowned speaker, and he leads currently the largest church in Edinburgh. He is a man filled with the Spirit, at peace with himself and at peace with the calling on his life. And if you are called by God, it is by the Spirit that He will equip you. God equips us to the measure of our calling. He doesn't call us and leave us hanging. He will equip us. And a footnote, all of us are called. Those callings will look different for each and every one of us, but every single one of us has a calling on our lives. And as we are equipped by the Spirit, so we are able to walk out in the peace of the knowledge that we are loved. If we are to love, we must know we are loved. If we are to love, we must know that we are loved. And that comes by an encounter with the Spirit. And we are all homesick for the peace of knowing where we belong, for the peace of knowing that we matter to God. We are needed and we are known. And that peace comes with the filling of the Spirit. And if we don't have that filling, if we don't have that fusing to God by the power of the Spirit, we fill the void that we find. We fill it with alcohol. with drugs, with unhealthy relationships, with addictions, with busyness, with rubbish TV. We fill the void somehow because we're built to be whole people, holistic people. And we're constantly looking for that home, that place with the Father. The Spirit of God sends us his peace. But it's not just his peace. The Spirit of God also brings us joy and laughter and fun. There is a reason the disciples were accused of being drunk. They looked it. And the joy of being filled with the Spirit, there's no hangover. There's no bar tab at the end of the night. You wake up better than you were. And believe me, for those of you who haven't heard my testimony, speaking as someone who has tried a lot of Class A drugs, being filled with the Spirit is better. It is better than that. Carl's call was to lead, and the peace of God enabled him to do that. So the Spirit of God brings us his peace, but he also brings us his power. We need the peace of God, and we need the power of God in our lives to walk out the calling that he has given us. When I was training, I was on a baptism visit with another vicar. And we were going through the liturgy of the service, and you always say to the person that you're baptizing or the family, if you'd like to ask any questions, please just stop me at any point. And nobody ever does. So it was really interesting when the lady, the mum of this baby, paused and said, can I just ask, sorry, what's the Holy Spirit? And the lady I was with very wisely paused for just a beat and then said, God's power on earth. And that struck me as true. God's power on earth. The Holy Spirit is quite simply how God gets stuff done. It is how God gets stuff done. If you have done a good deed, compelled by an overflow of love, that is an encountering with the Holy Spirit. If you feel joy, that is a gift of the Spirit. If you are laughing with an overflow of love, that is the Holy Spirit you are encountering. If you feel a loving impulse to give sacrificially, if you feel compassion, if you are on the phone and you hear someone's voice that just makes you light up inside, that is the Holy Spirit. It is the work of God on earth, getting stuff done. It is the work of the Spirit within you that you are feeling. Jesus is alive, and it is by the work of the Spirit that God gets stuff done. And the work of the Spirit is nothing to fear, because it is quite intangible. It feels a bit more ethereal. People tend to feel a bit nervous around the things of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is God. So if we know God to be good, then we have nothing to fear, because he has nothing but good things for us. We say it in the Trinity every single week. We acknowledge the person of the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity. Say it in the Creed, sorry. God's character is good, and his heart is to bring us good things by his Spirit. So why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we want to engage with him and allow his Spirit to hover over our waters? Two examples I want to bring you this morning of people who have been impacted by the power of the Spirit and gone on to impact their worlds. Firstly is Jackie Pullinger. Jackie Pullinger is an incredible woman. She left the UK at the age of 21. She got on a ferry. She sold most of her worldly possessions to be able to fund the trip simply because she felt God had told her to do it. She didn't know what she was going to do when she got there. She got off in Hong Kong, where she felt called to get off the ferry, and encountered the most extraordinary pain in the city. She found a place called the Walled City that was entirely ruled by triad gangs, where people were sold as commodities, and there was a vast amount of addiction, huge amounts of addiction. But Jackie Pullinger was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And she had the peace that she needed to walk out that rather extraordinary calling on her life. And Jackie just simply began to pray with people. She prayed with people who were addicted to drugs, to mahjong, praying that those strands of addiction would be broken in the name of Jesus. And she recalls in her book, Chasing the Dragon, which I recommend to you, that she would sit with people and watch them go through cold turkey while she prayed in the Spirit with them. And they would come out clean, their bonds of addiction broken. And sometimes that happened instantly, and sometimes it happened over a period of time. But she came alongside people and she walked with them by the power of the Spirit until they were free. And today, the walled city no longer exists. Jackie founded a ministry there. People began to travel from all over the world to join with her, hearing these incredible stories of what God was doing. And eventually, the pain and suffering in that place began to become broken down as people were set free. And the walls were eventually taken down. And there is a sign that you can find today if you go to Hong Kong. And a short précis of what that sign says is Jackie Pullinger came from the UK to Hong Kong alone in 1966 to spread the gospel. In the walled city, she led drug addicts, prostitutes, and street sleepers to start their lives anew. Even some triad members have turned over a new leaf through believing in Jesus. Her story is extraordinary, and the story of what the Spirit was doing alive within her is extraordinary. Get hold of a copy if you can. The next is a young lady called Julia Immerman. Julia is an old friend of mine, and we were at the same church at the same time, and she was at a service I was at where they were talking about human trafficking. And then at the end of the service, they prayed for the Spirit to come. And Julia was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and she was filled with a deep conviction that something had to be done about human trafficking. That it was not right, that it was not in accordance with God's plan for this world or for his people. She was so compelled to do something that she founded a charity designed to raise awareness and money to combat human trafficking, and she rowed the Atlantic. The charity was called Row for Freedom, and there's a video I'd like to show you.
Become the victim of human trafficking.
Julia continues to work with Sport for Freedom to this day, and she has done some incredible things by the power of the Holy Spirit living within her. She is finding the strength she needs to live the calling on her life, that particular calling that God has given her. And we are not all, as Julia said in the video, we're not all called to row the Atlantic. Praise the Lord for that. We are not all called to get on a ferry to Hong Kong and pray with people coming through addiction, but we are all called to something. God has got a plan and a purpose for all our lives, and it is by the gift of the Spirit that He will equip us to live out that calling. So why am I wearing 5-inch hot pink heels? Shortly after I became a Christian, I found myself in a working environment that was very, very, very high energy. It was high pace, it was high pressure, the hours were absolutely unreal, and it was full of really bright young things who were deeply competitive. They believed in what they were doing and they wanted to get that job done. And there was a culture within the office of the first person to leave would sort of be slightly sniffed at. Who could stay? Who could work hardest? Who could work longest? I remember one morning coming in and hit it. I was at my desk for 5:30, and I sat down to pour myself a coffee, and I realized I put muesli in my cafetiere. I mean, it was so unhealthy. And during that time, I wore 5-inch heels every single day, from the minute I got up to the minute I got home. And I think with hindsight, there was something about the physical elevation. I mean, I'm 5'5", someone's got to give me something. Physical elevation, but also psychological strength that it gave me. It made me feel more powerful. It made me feel like I belonged. I used to say to people, it's fine, I'm born in heels. Partly because I thought that sounded cool, but also because I actually could run for a bus at that point in my life while wearing heels. Now, by God's grace, He never asked me to give the heels up. Pregnancy did, but God didn't. Perhaps that was the Lord, I don't know. But when I met with the Holy Spirit, when I began to allow that sponge that was my heart to soften and let Him in, I found a peace in who I am. I found a peace that answered that imposter syndrome I had. I had this thought constantly that I was a fraud, that I didn't belong in that working environment, that they were going to find me out any minute. But the Spirit of God gave me a peace that I was where He had called me to be, and that by the power of the Spirit, He would equip me to live out that calling. He gave me a peace in my giftings, but more significantly, He gave me a peace in my failings. Because where I am weak, He is strong. So I'm going to take them off now. If I can do this without falling over. That bit's much easier, actually. There we go. I can take these off and walk barefoot because I've got nothing to prove. With the Holy Spirit living within me, alive within each and every one of us, we can feel the peace that comes with walking with the Lord, and we can be given all the power that we need to live out the calling on our lives. And the reality is that the world wears us down. We get tired, even if at one point we were on fire for God. We get tired, we get grumpy. People say unkind things, we do unkind things. Our vessels of the Holy Spirit leak, and we need them to be topped up again and again and again. The Spirit of God is for each and every one of us. We live in an age after Pentecost. That means we live in the time of the Spirit today. God's promise is that the gift of the Spirit is for each and every one of us. His peace and His power available for us all today. So shall we pray? We're going to pray the oldest prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit. And we're going to wait on God. Lord, soften our hearts and open us to You. we pray that you would meet with us now at our need. For those who need the gentle whisper of your Spirit, we pray that that would come. And for those who need to meet with you in power, we pray that that would come. Come, Holy Spirit. And if you wish to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, I would invite you just to turn your hands open in your lap. And I would ask everyone to keep your eyes closed out of respect for one another, just as a sign to yourself and to God that you are open to His moving in your life. Come, Holy Spirit. Just as we wait on the Lord, I can see just this look of peace. More of what you're doing, Lord. Father, we pray that you would equip us by the gift of the Spirit to the measure of the calling that you have put on our lives. We pray, Lord, that as we go out from this place today, we would be filled with you to overflowing, and that we would go on being filled. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.